I'm Eric Thiel, and today we welcome back into the JPR studios, Mr. Ben Taylor. Welcome.
Incredible to be back.
Thanks, it's nice
so
to see you, man.
Having me again.
Just to help place you in the universe, you are the uncle of Bodie Taylor.
It is true.
Okay.
It is true. Although sometimes I feel like he's my uncle because he's bossier than I am.
How old is he now?
Five.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that can tend to happen.
Yeah.
You were last here about a year and a half ago,
yeah,
and we were talking about the album that you had released called Listening, played mm-hmm. a couple of tunes from that. Tell me what you have been up to in recent months. What's going on in your world?
I recorded an album in London, which is going to come out in sometime early in the summer. I've been touring a lot in Europe, in Germany, and Holland a lot. What else?
Why did you record in London?
It's one of my home away from homes, and it's the perfect combination of not the same amount of distraction as I would get if I did it in any of the places that I know in America to go and record, but it's not lonely either, so it's cool.
You know, I've watched you talk about putting together some of your earlier records and how you are blessed by having a tremendous amount of great connections to great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case in London too?
Yes, but I try to use people who are not so good.
In an effort to make yourself sound and feel better?
Yeah, it's all about self-aggrandization. But no, that's not true. But the truth of the matter is that what I do know, after having spent a good part of the early portion of my career using my connections to top shelf, so to speak, musicians who I would meet through my parents or through their connections, that kind of thing. They don't have enough limitations, those people. I think that in a music, almost in every aspect of music, limitation is the mother of the real exciting part. It's sort of like if I tune the guitar into a tuning that I don't know how to play in, I'll write a way better song than if I had tried to write the same song where I was familiar. I think that limitations are really some of the most incredible parts of the magical, the magical parts of songwriting and performing.
So is the album that you recorded in London along the same vein of the kind of stuff you've been putting out, or is it a little different?
No, I would say that the album that I've just made is the Ben Taylor album that I've always been trying to make. So, there's definitely, you would recognize that it was me if you heard it, but the production is a lot more mature, I think. There are less distractions in the way of the songs. There's nothing forced. We made it very quickly. We made it in 6 days total or something like that. And it sounds like that's what we did.
What's the due date for it?
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't trust due dates.
Because there's still mastering and graphic work and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff yet to be done. But the tracking is done, and all of the, my part is done. Basically, I sign off, and then they show me things, and I say, is that me?
Ben Taylor is my guest live in the JPR studios. We'll talk about how Ashland's kind of become this little hangout place for you. Last time you were here, we put on a little show.
We did a little impromptu show with my boy Judd at the maybe it was a hot spring?
Jackson Wellsprings?
Yeah, that's exactly where it was. And we rolled into town with a day off, and we were all sad to not be able to play a concert. So Judd hooked it up.
And technically today was a day off too, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's true. We just get sad when we have to roll through Ashland and not play a show.
Well, let's hear some music. What do you want to play first?
I play you a song called America that I wrote as a love song for the country that for whom my patriotism is so deeply muddled by historical guilt and contemporary confusion, etc.
America, how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, America, we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. She was as pretty as a dream, most amazing girl I've ever seen. But not just did she look good, she made you free. She said you belong to me, and I won't see your spirit in shackles. But the snake makes apple wine for the paradise fair, and eating past the lashes of her eyes, bless her hair down. The dancing feet so fine, don't wanna go nowhere, but she gets thirsty for apple wine. Sometimes, America, how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to lose, ooh. But then she took up with a white man who seemed to have no feelings. He just couldn't get it right, man. Kept killing and stealing, and he moved all of her tribesmen to lives with lower ceilings, where the stories were needed, the forgotten wise. He made his fools king and made himself god. Traded guns and lives and drugs and cod. His wealth grew greater, he never learned to sing, but he always was a rather good sailor. Hey yeah, America, how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, oh, we can keep believing, but there's so much to do. So much to prove. Could never really treat her right. She cried and cried and tried to make him see the light. He only lied and always had to pick a fight. He spends most of his time abroad nowadays, so now she's mine. It's time to get her back on track. I've drawn a line, I'm not looking back, because it's long past time. Even if she's been through hell with scars and lines, she's still so fine. My America, how can we believe it after what we've been through? America, we can keep believing, but there's so much to.
That is Ben Taylor live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The tune called America from the album Listening. And you probably noticed there were some wonderful harmonies on that tune as well. Ben is not here alone in the studio. Who
No, that's actually me. I've been practicing this Tibetan chanting technique where I'm actually able to sound like a beautiful English girl. This is my good friend and saving grace, Sophie Hiller, who's agreed to come over and make me sound better for the next month and a half. She's SophieHiller.com too. She has a burgeoning recording and performing career of her own, which is very exciting.
Welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Check her out.
I'm glad that you mentioned her, Ben, because one of the things that I wanted to talk with you a little bit about is your record label. Mm-hmm. This is now a little bit more than a decade old, something like that. Initially, your albums were coming out on your label, Iris, mm-hmm. but now you've got kind of a stable.
Well, I have a stable for people who need a distribution mechanism set up that's well organized. But, you know, I decided to go into the record business just about 3 months before it became clear that it was a silly business to try to go into, and especially for somebody like me. Yes, possible as an independent artist to access the means of distribution, publicity, marketing, promotion, etc., that it only used to be possible for major labels to access. But it's just, you know, the truth of the matter is that we're not talking about product anymore. We're talking about zeros and ones predominantly, and it's just they're too easy to get their hands on. And quite frankly, I think of my recorded songs primarily as promotional devices to get people to come to my concerts. I don't think of them so much as product. I think one of the interesting ideas, not to get too heady on your program, but I figure you can take it because you're in a college. But but I think that where my whole life growing up, I understood art as, and especially musical art, as product. It's not commoditizable that way in the same way as it was when, say, my parents were making records. Now, art really needs to be used as a vehicle to capture people's attention for a window of time, because it's that attention that's actually worth something now.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because you have also talked about how your recorded music is a snapshot, literally, of songs that aren't really finished. They're not really finished. You take them out on the road, you work with them, you grow with them over time. You've said that you never really hear a song until you've played it live.
I don't. When I get too close to it, I don't hear it until I hear it vicariously through the ears of strangers, really. And I can see the looks on their faces and the way they react to it.
Is that so that you can get an idea of what they're taking from your songs?
That's the way I understand the song, the way that it lives and the way that it performs. The reason I use the analogy of a snapshot is because some people take great pictures, some people don't take great pictures. You know, some of the best-looking people I know take horrible pictures. And the reason, in my opinion, is that people are not still images of what they look like. They're a complicated, incredible, intricate series of expressions and movements and you know, faces. They're not one face. You see, a snapshot of that person is like a frozen flame, you know, and flames don't work frozen like that. You know, the world doesn't really work as nouns. Everything in the world is actually a verb. But again, not to get too heady. But the reason that I think that songs, when you bronze them for posterity by recording them, by taking them to the studio and recording them, it's great. But the song doesn't necessarily want to stop writing itself there. And it doesn't want you to stop writing it there. It wants you to take it out and see how your fans respond to it and say, you know, meet somebody else 5 years down the line that said, here's why this song meant so much to me. And you say, oh, I'm going to write a bridge for that about this person, because that makes so much sense to this song. I never truly understood what it was about until now.
Ben Taylor is my guest live here on Jefferson Public Radio. What do you want to play next?
This is a song called Wilderness. Off of Kung Folk, which is the pre-listening. Forest trees get hit by lightning, often in the wilderness. Just the way you cause excitement might be compared to this. What's the use of letter writing when it could be sung to you? I've seen your magnetism and the way they've clung to you. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. It don't work sometimes in this wilderness. Do what we must do. Cruise on, it's about time we moved on. Don't think about what it could be. You are really way too good for me. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. It don't work sometimes in this wilderness, right? Why do all the good things tend to leave so fast? It's the littlest things that sting as the fondest memories pass. Is it wise to hold on to someone that should be free? Just because we've gone through the motions doesn't mean that you belong to me. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. It don't work sometimes in this wilderness. Do what we must do. Cruise on. It's about time we moved on. Don't think about what it could be. You are really way too good for me. If it hurts
hurts sometimes, that's best. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. If it hurts sometimes, that's best. It don't work sometimes in this wilderness, right?
That's Ben Taylor live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. He's in concert tonight at 8:30 at the Wild Goose in Ashland. Ben, as you were coming up in music, which I realize you were a relatively late starter to it, didn't really start playing music until you were in your 20s, how did you choose to navigate the waters of growing up the son of two very, very well-known musicians? Did you try to stay away from it as much as possible or embrace it?
I chose to ignore it completely, and my parents were both very helpful with that. They figured it would be weird for us. So they, until I was like 17 or 18, I actually thought that my father was a construction worker and my mother was a plumber. And they put on all the gear and whatnot and came home covered with plaster.
You know, both of them were so well known. Your dad's still out performing all the time. Your mom, not so much.
She should be.
Yeah, but doesn't.
Yeah, right? She doesn't. Won't.
I guess what I'm wondering is whether you were comfortable with the idea of going out on tour as Ben Taylor, the son of these two, or whether you were trying to forge a very unique identity on your own, and whether that has changed as you have now grown older.
There were a lot of people in various teams that I had when I was starting out who were concerned that I try to forge my own identity and refract from that particular line.
Were they not confident that you had one?
It's not that. It's just that people think about these things. People who are in the music business, it's their art to try to present you the right way and spin you the right way, and try to use the nepotism as a tool rather than sort of an embarrassment or a crutch, et cetera, et cetera. All of that didn't help me to think about. As a matter of fact, I wish nobody had ever brought it up because it made me second. You know, when I was a young, fresh artist, it did make me second guess my direction and whatnot. And the truth of the matter is, anybody who thinks, not just somebody who decides to go into the family business, not just somebody who decides to go into the family business with two radically monumental, unrealistic examples of success for parents, if they think that who they are is not significantly because of these archetypal examples of being a human being, at the very least, to say nothing of a musician, they're deceiving themselves and potentially limiting their own creative growth.
You and your dad have been on stage together quite a few times. Is that something that you think is going to continue? And I remember talking about one of the songs from Listening. There was a bridge that you had sort of set aside for your dad to write, and he never did, and you plugged it in with a fun line.
Yeah.
And it ended up sticking. And you have hinted that there might be some sort of collaboration going forward. Is that a reality, or is it just something that is pie in the sky?
No, we've been talking about it a lot. He's in the middle of recording his what he says is going to be his last proper James Taylor album right now. It's his first album of original songs in 12 years or something like that.
Because the last two had been covers, right? Yeah. Covers, yeah. And other covers, yeah.
And I've been bothering to send me rough mixes. He won't send me rough mixes. It's driving me crazy. but what he says is he wants to sort of do the classic James Taylor thing for another go round, another run on an album, and then the next thing he wants to do, because I've been getting better at recording myself and recording other people and whatnot, says the next thing he wants to do is make an album with me, sort of something completely uncharacteristically James Taylor, maybe not even call it his name or something like that.
Huh.
Just to do something, out of his comfort zone and out of his, boredom zone potentially, or not boredom, but, what he's used to. So we're definitely going to do that at some point, and that's going to be fun. And in terms of shows, I don't know. I want him to come. Like, the last time I went out on his tour, and I felt like a spoiled brat a little bit, because it was just like, oh man, I haven't earned this hotel room. I haven't earned this kind of thing. But he was amazingly gracious. But the next time we do a thing together, I told him he's got to come out on my tour with me, and I'm going to have to wait until I can afford slightly better hotel rooms.
Maybe he could come out and play a few songs to open for you?
No, but that's what it would have been if he that's what I would have done if he had done that to me. But when he took me out on the road, I was expecting to play a couple songs opening for him, and he turned it into a whole collaborative father-son set where he was singing my songs and I was singing his songs. Neat. And yeah, it was really, it's an amazing tip of the hat.
When you recorded Listening, mm-hmm. you recorded this album 4 or 5 times
yep.
until you technically got it right?
No.
Got it the way you wanted it?
No.
Just gave up and moved on?
What? No, I mean, I wouldn't say it was give up. It was just, it was a, should have stopped after the first time for mm-hmm. sure, just because. And if there had been another producer other than me who had executive veto power above me, then definitely we would have, because none of the versions we recorded are the archetypal one or better. And that's why we use different songs from different versions to actually string them together. It's just one of those things where if you have too much power and you're the one who's the neurotic artist who wrote all the songs and came up with all the parts, then you get to the end and you say, oh, yeah, it sounds all right, but maybe we could do it a lot better if we tried it all over again in Colorado.
And that album took something like 4 years to get around to releasing.
Yeah.
This one seems like it might have been a little easier.
That's about to come
out.
Yeah,
was the music flowing better?
It was just, the whole thing was just easy. And I learned my lesson about having somebody above me in terms of being able to say, this is too much. Mm. Let's stop here. This is good.
I read an interview recently where you were talking about how you had picked up some new guitars, or that the guitars were tuned slightly differently. And you had even referenced it earlier today when we were chatting about how you pick up a guitar that's tuned differently and you write better songs or you write songs that are new. That are different, structured differently, or
I've picked up playing keys quite a bit, which offered me some incredible limitations for which I'm tremendously grateful. I play. What else do I play? Nothing. I play, but I've been doing a lot of electronic music in my concerts, so I've been sort of I've been learning to run different various Traktor and Ableton. I've got a bunch of synths on stage that I sort of manipulate while I'm in my concert and whatnot. I wanted to start playing concerts that I'd be excited to go see myself, really, was what it was.
Ben Taylor is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. Well, speaking of synths, electronics, first of all, tell me about this thing that you've brought in. This is not the first one of these that I've seen, and hopefully Mookie Maxwell is here again taking photos that we'll have up on our website. We've had one of these in the studio before. Not sure that we got a good photograph of it before, so we'll try to get one today. What is this thing that you've brought in?
It's called a OP1, and it's sort of it's a very strange Japanese device that does everything.
And it's like a size of a cribbage board.
Yep,
right?
I don't know what a cribbage board looks like. Embarrassingly enough,
looks like that, but not made of plastic.
But not made of plastic. Well, this is. It does everything. It's got synthesizers in it. It's got drum engines in it, samplers, all kinds of different effects processors. Everybody makes a workstation like this, and this is sort of like the Japanese manga version of it, or something like that. It's quite mad.
And what do you do with it?
Well, for instance, this morning, one of the things, we've been talking a lot about my folks, and people do talk a lot about my folks, and people come to my concerts because they're my parents' fans a lot of the time. So I tell them that rather than go through playing my parents' whole sort of arsenal of greatest hits, I'm just going to play them Fire and Rain and You Are So Vain at the same time.
Okay.
to save myself time. So this is sort of what it sounds like. Because you got to have the Fire and Rain, and then you've got the great bass line from You're So Vain. Well, I guess you could say she was beautifully plain, brutally insane, smooth like the break of a wave. She was cool like a magical groove on a January day. Hey, in one of her moods, she was hot lemonade, sweet, sour, and powerful up in your face. It's tough to forget what you told you to say, because it just unfolds on the back of your mind all day. All day, just like you're so vain. You're so vain. Silver sage slowly burning sweetly from my shoulders to my ceiling with a lonely little smile.
Insane, but at the same time so revealing, to give you all the feeling. She was Lady Magic, she was real good at it, the way that she got to my mind. Lady Magic helped me break my bad habits and put my darker days behind. Yeah, she loved suggesting that life was so interesting all the time. Lady Magic, she was real good at it, and I'm glad I get to call her mine. Although life used to treat me so low, I had so many places to go. But not so many places where I could feel at ease. But then something happened to turn a young speaker into someone they had no choice but to inhale a song like wind and carry it on until I would find my voice. You know she was Lady Magic, she was real good at it, the way that she got to my mind. Yeah. And Lady Magic helped me break my bad habits and put my darker days behind. She loved suggesting that life was so interesting all the time. Lady Magic, she was real good at it, and I'm glad I get to call her mine. Fond on my words, and I dot my T's and cross my I's and all. Life's funny, you making that honey, it's bigger than a deeper meaning at all. But I tried dipping into any institution that was capable of being dissolved. Life's tragic, see what you want, you get the chance and you got to have it all. She was Lady Magic, she was real good at it, the way that she got to my mind. Yeah, Lady Magic helped me break my bad habits and put my darker days behind. She loves suggesting that life was so interesting all the time. Lady Magic, she was real good at it, and I'm glad I get to call her mine. Yeah.
That is Ben Taylor live on Jefferson Public Radio. Ben, when your parents hear that, do they smile and nod approvingly, or do they kind of shake their head at the?
Oh no, I don't play that for my parents because I play it. My mom loves it, but my dad, he doesn't like to. I think I would get in trouble with him if he knew I was mashing up his and my mom's songs.
It has been great to see you again.
Oh, pleasure is all mine.
Thanks for stopping by. It's Ben Taylor along with Sophie Hiller. Nice to meet you as well.